So let's just pray as we look into God's word together. Heavenly Father, we want to give you thanks for all of the good things that you've given to us, all of the ways in which you bless us. And Lord, we pray that as we open up your word right now, that it would be a living word to us and active in our lives. Lord, that you would enable us to understand what it says. Lord, that it would be a lamp for our feet and a light for our path. Lord, enable us to understand everything that you want us to understand here today. And Lord, I pray that once we've understood it, we would then be able to put it into practice in our lives, in order that we might not just ignore those things that you've spoken to us about, but that we would do them. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So how are you coping with lockdown then? One of the traits of humanity is meant to be how we can adapt to change. Well, there's certainly been a lot of changes, hasn't there? How's your adapting going? Perhaps you feel a little bit like this lady.
Hey, so as some of you guys might know, I'm a music teacher, and I found that one of the best ways that I can process the whole transition to online learning and teaching is to write a song. So I wrote a song. I'd like to share that with you guys now. Here we go.
Well, I hope that you don't feel like that. I hope that the services and the messages have been helpful. I hope that the posts on social media have been an encouragement. I hope that the phone calls that you've had from your family, as well as from your church friends, have helped you to stay connected. When I last preached, it was on the subject of contentment. And we saw that Paul had endured many difficult situations, lots of different crises, lots of difficulties that he'd been through. And God had taught him how to cope. And that wasn't just gritting his teeth and hoping to get through the situation until it was all over. But it was a much more positive experience that Paul had learned, to experience peace in spite of the difficulties, to be content in any and every situation. So that's what we looked at last time, and it was probably quite appropriate given the COVID crisis that we're going through. And so I just want to kind of sum up what we did last time in order to get the context there ready for the things that we're going to look at today. So last time we saw that the steps on the road to contentment were for us not to let our anxieties take over, but for us to be in control of them. Philippians chapter 4 and verses 4 to 9 say, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you." Paul tells us that we need to rejoice in the Lord always. And we've got so much that we can rejoice about, haven't we? So many good things that God has blessed us with. And we're to think about those things and we're to rejoice in them. And then Paul says that we're not just to react in according to our human nature, to be aggressive or angry, but to let our gentleness be evident to all. Then we're to take comfort because the Lord is near. You know, he is not in isolation. He is not separated from us at all. He is right there going through the situation with us and enabling us to get through it with him. And then he goes on to say that we need to pray We need to present everything that we're going through before God. We need to petition him. We need to bring it all to him and to leave it there and to carry on praying until we experience that peace of God. And then when we've done that, when we've experienced that peace, then we've got to concentrate on repeating that process. We've got to focus on the good things, not to slip back into the negativity, not to slip back into the anxiety, but instead to make sure that we focus on the things which are right, which are good, which are positive, and not on those things which are negative. And Paul also tells us that we need to follow the example of others, the good examples which others have set. So that was the first thing, for us not to let our anxieties take over, but for us to be in control of them. The second thing is that we've got to be concerned about others, not just obsessed about our own problems and the difficulties that I am facing. You see, when I focus on my problems and on my difficulties, then my world just shrinks down. The worries take hold of me, and the anxieties are right at the forefront of my mind. But if I'm able to think of others, if I can consider the problems that they're facing and how I might help them, then my world expands beyond just the narrowness of my own difficulties and problems. How many selfish people does it take to change a light bulb? Only one. But the way that they do it is they hold a light bulb up in the air and they expect the world to revolve around them. We're not to be like that. We've got to live the way that God wants us to, by loving him with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind, and with all of our strength. And by loving our neighbours as ourselves. Not just loving ourselves, but loving our neighbours as ourselves as well. God first, ourselves and others next. And when we do that, that's the second step. And then the third step along that road to contentment is having the confidence to be able to believe that wonderful promise that God has given to us. That promise which is such an encouragement. I can do all this through him who gives me strength. Us being able to get through the situations that we're facing, to overcome the problems that are ours right now. It's not dependent on my skills or talents. It's not dependent on my education level. It's not dependent on my social status. It's not dependent on my bank balance. It's not dependent on my job description. It's not dependent on my previous experience. It's not dependent even on the people that I know. It's dependent upon the resources that I am supplied by my Heavenly Father. It is him who gives me the strength. So that's where we got to last time. And now we're going to finish up Philippians by looking at Philippians chapter 4, verses 14 to 23. And now, I don't know about you, but I've really loved studying Philippians and preparing the sermons from there. I hope that that's been useful to you, and I hope that it will continue to be useful for you as well. So in the verses that we're looking at this morning, Paul is talking to us about sharing. He's talking to us about the generosity that the Philippians had shown to him, and he wanted to give them the credit where it was due. And then we have another spectacular promise and his final greetings. So let's read God's word together once again. Philippians chapter 4, verses 14 to 16. Yet it was good of you to share in my troubles. Moreover, as you Philippians know, in the early days of your acquaintance with the gospel, when I set out from Macedonia, not one church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving, except you only. For even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent me aid more than once when I was in need. In some Christian circles, it's all about appearances. They've got to show that their faith is serenely bringing them through any and every difficulty. They've got to show that they are so mature and that they know their Bibles so well that they're aware of all of the devil's traps. his tricks, his schemes. And because they're aware of these things, then of course they never fall into any of them themselves. They've got to be there at every meeting. And you won't be able to miss the ways in which that they help out. The standards of conduct and behaviour are set so high. And if anyone should fall or fail to meet those standards, well, there's all kinds of doubts over people like that. There are Christian circles like that, but they are unreal and they're toxic. That kind of a viewpoint, that kind of a way of living, it promotes dishonesty and hypocrisy in the church. In many ways, it's very similar to the way that the Pharisees lived in the time of Jesus, to being concerned about the outward appearance. And when we're concerned just about the external things, we neglect the internal, our hearts. And we're not to be like that. Now, Paul wasn't like that with the Philippians, and they were not like that towards him. They shared in one another's troubles. In verse 14, Paul says, "Yet it was good of you to share in my troubles." They shared the bad as well as the good, the problems and the difficulties. There was no stiff upper lip, let's pretend it's all okay. But instead, there was a dialogue that went between Paul and the church at Philippi. They sent messages to one another via messengers to keep that communication flowing, so that the Philippians knew what Paul was going through and he knew what they were going through. And so he could pray, and they could pray, and they could look after one another. We have got to do the same. Now, I'm not saying that we've all got to be mediocre together, that it doesn't matter if we fall or if we fail. But what I am saying is that we need to support and we need to strengthen one another so that we'll be able to fulfill the potential that God has for us, both as individuals and as a fellowship. We need to share with one another. Paul did it with the Philippian church. We need to continue to do it with each other and not just put on a front, not just consider how we appear to one another. No, it's all about the progress that we make with one another as we encourage and support each other to achieve what God is calling us to do. So that's the first thing for us to look at this morning, sharing. Next, he deals with generosity. He says, "As you Philippians know, in the early days of your acquaintance with the gospel, when I set out from Macedonia, not one church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving except you only. For even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent me aid more than once when I was in need. Not that I desire your gifts. What I desire is that more be credited to your account. I have received full payment and have more than enough. I am amply supplied now that I have received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent. They are a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to God." The church in Philippi was not the largest one. It wasn't the most wealthy, but they were the most generous to Paul after he'd set out from Macedonia. And in many ways, they were only just following the example that Paul had set when he had been with them. He'd been very generous with his time and with his energy for them. He had founded the church in Philippi and he had helped it to grow. And he paid for his efforts with false arrest, with flogging, with imprisonment. And so the Philippians there, they'd learned from Paul about the generosity that he'd showed towards them. And they, in turn, were a generous people. They practiced what he preached. And Paul himself was only following the example of Jesus. He was generous and patient. If you open up the Gospels anywhere, then you can find just in a few short verses, you read about Jesus meeting the people's needs, giving of his time, giving of his wisdom, his teaching, giving of his healing power. And ultimately giving his very life as he lay there on the cross. Thank goodness we have such a generous Saviour. Thank goodness we have such a generous Father God. And he calls us to follow in his footsteps, to give when the opportunity arises to be generous. Now, as a church, I think this is one of the things that we've been able to implement. This is one of the things that we've been able to demonstrate, the generosity that we have. We've done it in the past. If we think of some of the decisions that we've made as a church, kind of going back quite a few years now, when we called John to be our full-time minister, we were in a situation where we didn't necessarily know what was going to happen next. We weren't necessarily all that secure financially. And yet we made that decision that when John was called, that it would be a full-time role, not just a part-time one. And God has blessed us so that we've always been able to pay John's salary. So that was one instance. If we think about when we started up the food bank, if you remember there, we had a meeting where one of the ladies from the Trussell Trust came to speak to us about all of the commitment that it would take. And as a church, we said that, yes, we were prepared to do that. We were prepared to stand by that commitment. We were prepared to put in the time and the effort and the resources that it would need to be able to get that established. And God has blessed us through that work. That's been great. We've been able to be generous in our giving to Food Bank. And that generosity, I think, has been rewarded. And then if we think about starting up TLG as well, we discerned that there was a need for alternative education provision. And we saw how the goals of the TLG group were in line with our goals as a church. And so we decided that to explore that partnership there, and God made a way. And even though, again, we didn't necessarily know how it was going to turn out, people gave generously of their time, again, of their resources to get that work off the ground. And, you know, even if we think to the situation we were in 18 months ago, the difficulties that we were facing there, about whether or not we should continue. Again, we were able to make that step of faith to say, no, we won't stop our generosity here, but we will continue it. And we've been blessed because of that. So we need to be generous. We need to continue to be generous as a church. Now here, sometimes that little voice says, oh, hold on though. Hold on, we mustn't get carried away. We mustn't overcommit. And yes, that's right. We've got to be prudent. We've got to be good stewards of the things which God has given to us. But Proverbs 11, verses 24 and 25 says, one man gives freely, yet gains even more. Another withholds unduly, but comes to poverty. A generous man will prosper, and he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed. That's one of the rules of the kingdom, really. That as we give out, God replenishes the things that we have so that we're able to continue to be generous. And he fills us up so that we can give out again and be generous again. Generosity. That's something that Paul had demonstrated. That's something that the Philippians followed his example. How about us? We need to be a generous church as well. Thirdly, we need to give honour where it's due. Verses 17 and 18. You know, Paul is speaking about his appreciation that he's got for the help that the Philippians have given to him. And here we are reading about it nearly 2,000 years later. Are we ready to honour those who have helped us? That's one of our church family values, that we're a people of honour. How do we follow that through? How is it that we live it out? Now, again, I think that there are good things that we have done. There are good things that we are doing in this area. You know, I found it a real encouragement last week, and I'm not trying to embarrass anybody here, but after the service last week, Angela had put in the Zoom chat how she'd found the sermon helpful. And that was an example of her giving honor to John for the way that he prepared and the things that he'd been able to say, the things that God had given him to say in the service last week. And that was great. Likewise, a few weeks before when I'd preached, I was surprised but delighted really to receive a card through the post from Gail and Rachel, expressing their appreciation for the words that I'd said and how they had found it helpful as well. That was wonderful. But friends, are these isolated incidents, or is this a habit that we've got ourselves into? A good habit, a habit of giving honour to those people who have helped us out. That's what Paul was doing to the Philippians, and that's what he wants us to do to one another, so that we would encourage one another, so that we would support one another, so that we would recognize the help that we are to one another. We want to make sure that these aren't just isolated incidents, but this is a part of who we are, that this is a part of what we do, both as individuals and also as a church. Isn't it great? Wouldn't it be great for us to be known as a place where we honour one another in such wonderful ways, where we encourage one another? Well, then let's do it. Let's do it. And now we come to the fourth thing in the passage. We come to the promise, and it is an absolutely phenomenal, tremendous promise. And my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. Now, if we did nothing for the next 10 minutes but repeat that verse to ourselves, that would be so beneficial. In fact, it's probably better if we just did that rather than me continuing to preach. Just you go through the words from that verse, you can put emphasis on different things, can't you? And my God, that he is our God, that he's not some remote and distant person, but that he is mine. My Heavenly Father, my God, something which is personal. And my God will meet all your needs, not just a few of your needs, not just some, not even half, not even most of your needs, but all of your needs. And if we look at how those needs are met, it's just amazing, isn't it? It's wonderful that the things that God has blessed us with. He has met our need for a saviour by sending Jesus. He's met our need to have our sins taken away. He's met our need for us and taken away that hopelessness. He gives us plans and promises, gives us a purpose. He adopted us into his family. We have everlasting life. Our eternal destiny is secure. He provides what we need. He enables us to have the strength and the endurance to get through the different situations that we face. He gives us love and peace and encouragement. His promises. He gives us blessing after blessing. He enables us to have the confidence to keep on going. The comfort when we need that, when we're feeling downhearted. He grants us knowledge to be able to go on in our lives. In understanding, he blesses us with grace. He gives us righteousness, enables us to have the courage that we need to carry on, the faith to believe in those promises. He's blessed us with fellowship with one another, self-control, so that we're not just blown around by the desires that come naturally, but that we're able to receive mercy from him, that we have power, we have his spirit, we have patience, his faithfulness. We think of all of the different needs that we have that he has met according to his riches in Christ Jesus. How wonderful that is. And whilst we've listed many of the things there that are the needs that we've had met through our Lord Jesus, We could go on, because these are just the general things that he's given to us. We can all look back at particular circumstances and situations in our lives where God has blessed us in so many ways, where God has brought us through, where God has provided exactly what it is that we've needed in that particular situation. Friend, can you feel the power that there is in that promise that we have, that my God will supply all your needs according to his riches, the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus? What security and comfort there is there, what hope. No wonder verse 20 follows. You know, Paul just has to give glory to God, to our God and Father, be glory forever and ever. Amen. And then we've reached the bit in the passage where we get the final greetings, where Paul says, greet all God's people in Christ Jesus. The brothers and sisters who are with me send greetings. All of God's people here send you greetings, especially those who belong to Caesar's household. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. It's amazing there in the final greetings to hear that news that Paul brings, that even those who are in Caesar's household have become believers. You know, the most powerful man in the Roman Empire, even in his household, God has been at work. And that there are folk who are now trusting in the Lord Jesus in Caesar's household. That's amazing. Even though Paul has been under house arrest, still the good news about Jesus has not been chained up there. That's been free to be able to influence people's lives. It's been free to be able to have an impact. And it's still free right now. Even in this time of COVID crisis, even in this time of lockdown, though the restrictions might be being eased slightly, God's word has never been restricted. God's spirit has never been restricted. He's still at work today. He's still at work in people's lives and in people's hearts, bringing about that conversions to him, bringing about salvation, bringing about spiritual growth, bringing about the fulfillment of the potential that we have. So how are we to conclude then? Well, we need to make sure that we are sharing our lives with each other. Yes, the problems and the difficulties, as well as the encouragements, as well as the joys, as well as the mountaintop times. We've got to make sure that we're being real with one another, that we're open, that we're honest. Yes, it'll mean that we're vulnerable. But that's the way that we live, in order that we are real, that we can relate to one another, that we can encourage one another, and that we can support one another to be able to get through this situation and all of the situations that we face in our lives. God has created us for community, so we need to share with one another and continue to do that. We need to continue to be generous, for us to have that family resemblance with our Heavenly Father. He is the God who gives generously to all, and we need to follow in his footsteps, that where we have the opportunity to give, that we give. Where we see the need that's before us, we try to meet that need. And that we've not got to be concerned about, oh, well, are we going to have enough for ourselves? God will supply our needs, and we need to be generous in giving out to others. We need to give credit where it's due. And I wonder if we can do that in a special way over the coming days. That we will look for the people who have helped us, the people who have supported us, and look to give them a bit of feedback, a bit of honour, a bit of credit where it's due. And if we manage to do that a little bit more proactively over the course of this week, then let's make that a good habit that we stick with, so that we give honour where to the people who need it. And we give encouragement there, that we help them. And we need to remember God's awesome amazing, incredible promise that he will meet all of our needs. We need to believe that that is something which he is able to do, because it really is. It really is. He will meet all of our needs. Not according to our ability, not according to our faith, but according to the riches that he has provided for us in Christ Jesus. Let's be encouraged this morning. I don't know what your needs are specifically, but God does, and he has promised to meet those needs. So that's it. We're done with Philippians. It's been a joy for me, and I hope it's been a joy for you as well, to look into God's word and to study the things that Paul wrote to the church in Philippi. It's been a learning experience. Let's remember the things that we've learned. Let's put them into practice. Let's rejoice. Amen.